The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Hey, welcome back to The Bright Side and the Week in Comics. This one's titled HBO Max Rant. I can't promise you this entire episode is bright. We're not looking on the bright side here. But you know what I can't promise you? It gets ugly. It gets real ugly. But we start off very, very positive of us dropping the ball. Very positive that we dropped the ball. We have an apology and a thank you to start the podcast off. So let's get right to that. There's a lot of goodness in there. There is good in the bright side this week. We have a lot of books to talk about. We're getting back to normal. But yeah, there's a decent rant in there. So let's get in the store and get through the rant and then have some fun. Hey, John. Well, I can't even call you John. This is way too creative. The hardworking moonwalker. Come on.
Yeah. You know that usually it's random, but I actually picked the name this week.
You did not.
I did because I didn't know how to break it to you. So I figured that was the best way. I have an announcement of my own. That is my character name on The Mandalorian season 2. So just wanted to let you guys.
You're next.
You guys know that I'm next. And true to form, I've actually already filmed it because it's done. I just, you know, couldn't keep the lid on the popcorn any longer. So I had to let you guys know that.
Nice. Well, hey, now yeah. We know somebody.
That's right. So I can confirm all the previous rumors. They're all true.
There you go. Did you really make that up?
Oh, no. That's just what came up.
The hardworking moonwalker. That's crazy. They're really getting creative with these want to fill in a name thing.
I immediately thought of Star Wars and
what the heck we're talking about here. Yeah.
They know by now.
The app that we use to record is called Squadcast, and if you don't put your name in, it just gives you one. And John refuses to put his name in. So every week
I like these.
Yeah, I know. But it happened again last week. I went to put our tracks together and I'm like, hey, how you doing? And you're like, and it sounds, because our opens are always the same. You say hi, blah, so it matches up. But then all of a sudden I'm talking about one thing from like Thursday and you're talking about the Monday one.
Yeah.
Like, wait a minute. This isn't the right track.
One of these things is not like the other.
Right. So, all right, we have a ton to get through. We're back to normal, pretty much.
We
have full comic. We have Speculator's Corner. We have FOC. We have back issue. We both have checkouts. We got a lot to do today. And you've got news. I've got news. But we have to lead off with Dr. Joe buying the gift card. I was alerted to it last week. I was remiss. I didn't know if you knew about it at the last week's show after we recorded.
No, I knew about it. I
don't know why we didn't talk
stealing,
about it.
You're stealing my thunder.
Well,
yeah, I don't know.
That's why, because right after we recorded, the next morning, I was like, oh no. I'm like, I forgot to mention it. So why don't you get to it? Because I feel bad we didn't talk about it last week, but this was pretty cool.
Yeah, well, I felt bad too. That's why I wanted to make sure I actually put it in my notes last Friday morning.
Yeah, I put it in Thursday morning. That's why I'm like, we gotta lead off with this.
Remember to lead off with it this week. Yeah. So, Dr. Joe, almost day one listener, I guess for us, contacted me a little over a week ago, wanting to know how he could support the store. Wanted to buy a gift card to donate to one of my customers. So, we went through all the behind the scenes process and, Dr. Joe bought a gift card that I'm going to be giving away to my customers. I hadn't decided at the time how I was going to do it. But now I think I do, and I'm going to run a promotion through the month of June and give it to somebody at the end of the month. So I'll be posting all that information for my local customers on the Facebook page. But I mean, I wanted to just personally thank Dr. Joe. I mean, I communicated them, you know, with him through messaging, but you know, kind of publicly thank him for the support and the generosity to want to support a store for a guy he's never met. He's only heard my voice on the podcast.
You were in, you occupied the same state for a little while.
Yeah, that's about it. For, you know, yeah, to a store that he's never been to, you know, and I just think it's awesome that he was willing to do that to support me and my customers. So once again, thank you very much, Dr. Joe. Truly appreciate it.
Yeah. Yeah, he had contacted me, thought, you know, should he do, you know, is there something he could do? And I was like, you don't have to do anything, but that would be awesome. So, yeah, he contacted me shortly after he did it. And I was like, ah, and I can't believe we forgot to do it last week. I felt really bad about it.
I did, too. I felt like a jerk that night when I got off. And I was like, oh, my God, I didn't mention Dr. Joe.
I know. So we apologize, Dr. Joe, but. Thank you. Thank you very much. That was awesome. Very, very cool. All right. What else do we have to get to?
Well, I have breaking news that's 26 minutes old that I bet you haven't even seen yet.
Is it the Batfleck one?
No.
Okay. What's this one?
This is Henry Cavill's Superman to return from multiple DC movies.
Nice.
Breaking, like I said, 26 minutes ago. No word yet on it, on whether it's like a Man of Steel 2 or if it's like it, this kind of alludes to him possibly being the Robert Downey Jr. of like the DC movies. Kind of like, you know, we all know he was supposed to appear at the end of Shazam and then did not.
We just got the chest of the suit.
We just got the, yeah, we got the emblem. So this is really cool. You know, again, all on the heels of the Snyder Cut and all of that. So it does kind of lead to the possibility of a revival of kind of the Snyderverse over there at DC if this is successful for HBO Max.
Yeah.
That's pretty exciting. And like I said, it was – now, again, comicbook.com, so take it for what it's worth. But these stories generally pan out to be accurate.
Yeah.
And like I said, it was breaking just a few minutes ago. So we might be the first people, once again, to break big news.
More
on the
breaking
air.
News, yeah.
Yes.
So the one that I referred to, also in the same, kind of the same vein with the Snyder Cut, I heard today on Comic Talk Today, here on the Nerdy Legion, Justin was saying that HBO Max series is in the work with Batfleck. So he might come back and reprise his role as Batman in a Batman series on HBO Max, which would be real, I think, really cool. And I think it just lends to everything we were talking about last week with the Snyder Cut coming out. And I think this is actually more evidence that they're going to go to that 6-episode series and they're just going to expand off of that. I don't
Maybe
think
so.
This
now,
is
I haven't
just
heard that
a Snyder
news
cut.
At all. I didn't hear that.
It
anywhere.
Was in the rumors. It's not breaking. Okay. It's not anything like that. But this is where these rumors start coming out. And
well,
he
right.
had mentioned Snyder is on as executive producer. Joe Manganiello is coming back as Deathstroke, and all of the stuff that it sounds like they wanted to do,
right,
in movie form, they're gonna. This is all going to go to like HBO Max, which I think that's really cool. I don't know what you think, but.
No, I mean, I think it'd be great. Like I said, that rumor I hadn't heard yet. But, you know, like I said, who knows? The sky's the limit with these things. I think, it all becomes predicated on the Snyder Cut and what it does for HBO Max. You know, if it kind of goes over like a ton of bricks, then all of this might be out the window again.
Right.
So I guess we'll just have to wait and see what happens. More incentive, I guess, for Zach to put something compelling out there for us to see. Again, rumors today are that HBO or Warner Brothers is actually willing to exceed like the $30 million mark to complete this. I mean, he doesn't have the black Amex card with no limit, but it sounds like they're going to let him, you know, do, you know, pretty much what he needs to do to get it.
Yeah.
To get it to where he wants it. So, so that's pretty exciting.
Yeah. No, I know. And it's, I mean, I don't think I've seen, I was in a discussion on Twitter about it and people thinking that $30 million is like crazy money. And I'm like, no, that's pretty much what it costs to finish a movie.
Dropping the bucket though. Yeah. Dropping the bucket, you know, for these big budget movies, you know, it's like what, 1/7 or 1/8 of what the original budget was.
And it's just all it is. And it's all of the CGI, all the effects that the finishing of a movie that he never got to do. So I don't think it's that crazy.
The practical parts of it have already been shot and filmed. So, yeah, again, it's just the finishing touches. So, I mean, I don't think it's crazy either. I almost don't think it's enough. And that's why I'm thinking.
Well, it depends. Let's see how the mustache looks.
Exactly. They may go.
Because don't tell me you didn't have enough time now.
Yeah, right.
Like, I mean, there were so many.
I don't know. I mean, I don't think those scenes even appear anymore. You know, I mean, when that was all filmed after
those
Zach had kind of finished with. Yeah, those were all reshoots. So I don't think any of that stuff even will appear.
That's
in
a good
this
point.
Cut.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. All right. What else we got?
Well, I mean, HBO Max, today's the day, right? So we can't go without talking about it for a few minutes. I don't know how your day went with it, but I had a couple of issues with it today. Well, here's the biggest thing, and I guess this is kind of a PSA for people who might be in my situation, because I know you just did like a outside subscription, but mine is being linked to my DirecTV service.
Okay.
And I have to log in through my provider to get access to it. So for whatever reason, I am not able to log in with my credentials on any of my iOS devices, and I wasn't able to do it on my Apple TV. I had to, and I don't even know how I did this, to be honest with you, but I had to mess around with it long enough, putting in my credentials and getting them rejected. Till finally, I think it put up a screen where it asked me to go log in on my PC and then just put in the code. Mm-hmm. And that finally worked. And I was able to get in. But it took me about 40 minutes to get logged into this today. So already I was off to a bad start with it. I don't want to start bashing this thing. But, I mean, you already said you didn't like it.
I will.
So, right off the bat, I don't know how in 2020 you launch a streaming service with a search function that's not voice activated, because that's extremely frustrating to have to, you know, search again in first world problems. But in this day and age with these streaming services, you don't have to type in anything. All you have to do is talk, especially with the Apple TV, which is set up to do that right on the remote.
Most of them are. Most, like, yeah. Rokus and Amazon Fire
Everything.
Sticks, they all have that.
Yeah, so problem number two is that for those that are using Roku and Amazon Fire, you don't have access to this today because it didn't drop on those platforms. Which, again, is just totally unacceptable given the amount of time they had to test and get this thing ready. I don't know how you launch a streaming service again in 2020 that does not have 4K picture or Dolby Atmos sound, especially when your two major and cheaper competitors both offer that. Once again, it's not like they decided yesterday to offer this service.
DC Universe
DC Universe has 4K. Now, they don't have Atmos, but they have 4K. So just a whole slew of minor issues, but then you get into the layout of this, and I thought it was pretty bad.
It's revamped HBO Now. There's nothing snazzy about it. There's nothing. I'm so mad at
your dashboard that you have with your categories is all the way at the bottom of the login screen. So it's like literally the last thing you see. Which I had to look for because I'd seen the pictures yesterday showing us what it was going to look like when we logged in, and then we logged in and it didn't look like that. And then you have the categories, but there's no category for actual Warner Brothers movies. So you have DC, you have Turner, whatever, TNT, you have Crunchyroll and, you know, all these options. But there's no option for Warner Brothers movies. So if I'm looking for The Lord of the Rings, which I was, there's no menu button to find that movie. You have to go into the search function and look for it. So again, really unintuitive the way they have this thing set up. And then, you know, I didn't have a lot of time to mess with it because, like I said, it took me a long time to log in. But wasn't super impressed with the picture quality. You know, I jumped over to Lord of the Rings and started watching a couple of minutes of that at the beginning. And I don't know. I'm getting it for free, so I can't complain. But I wasn't super blown away by this. I will say there's quite a bit of content, it seems like.
That's the only positive I have.
Although none of it's really original. There's a few things
that's
that
like
look...
Disney Plus.
There was one show that looked like it was original. And actually, I watched the first episode of Looney Tunes,
which
is
cool.
Original. Yeah, so I spent the 12 minutes and watched that episode. But I don't know, like... Obviously, you have other thoughts. I don't know how many of them overlap with mine.
The entire thing. Think it's absolute. And you know me. I'm like, I've been a DC Universe.
Yeah, you're Mr. And you're Mr. Positive Outlook on most things.
But this is disgusting. In this day and age, this is what you're going to roll out. All they did is they put a different sticker on HBO Now.
Yeah.
There no Atmos, no 4K. The like you said, the entire layout is crappy. You get all of these movies that are nicely all in one place, which is great. That's the positive. You have all this content, including like Friends and Big Bang and all. I mean, it's just like, you know, it's the WB version of Disney Plus. Awesome, but what? Why am I going to watch Wonder Woman here?
Right.
Why am I going to watch any of these movies that are in 4K? They're released in 4K elsewhere, but there's nothing for you to do it. There's no reason to gravitate towards this. Game of Thrones, which was like lambasted for how it looked through streaming because it wasn't in 4K HDR, right? And then the DVD comes out and, you know, episode 3 of season 8 was like that dark, dark episode, and it's like, hey, on Blu-ray, it looked awesome, right? But you had to take their word for it because you had to spend $50 to buy the Blu-ray set to get that.
Right.
Well, here's their chance to release this and show the world how good that episode can look. And they literally, like, they
language
on it. They
for gosh sake, watch your language.
Shit all over it. I'm so mad at it because there's nothing there for you to, it's already been out. What do we do? What was this for? What was the hype for this for? It's so stupid.
Right. Because I could already stream Game of Thrones off of HBO Now or HBO Go. This didn't give me anything new, you know?
No, so. I know. And there's nothing there. It's like the Matrix. Okay, it's one of they got Neo as one of the characters in their promo on that big layout with all the different characters in it. That's got, you know, you got Batman and Wonder Woman. The cast of Big Bang is in there, and there's Neo standing there. Matrix isn't even out today. It's not even offered.
No, I didn't even look.
No, and it's like, why did you put him as a main character on your promo? It's like, that's not a new movie. You can't offer it? It's like, I mean, come on.
Now, to be fair, I will say, because, you know, spoilers, that's our topic for Monday. I watched it on Netflix yesterday. So it's obviously the deal hasn't.
Then don't put the character in the promo.
Well, I get that. But I'm saying, like, that's
similar
to. Is it in 4K
on Netflix? Do you remember?
No, it was not. Okay. It wasn't. And it wasn't in Atmos either, but you know, similar to Disney Plus, I'm sure some of these deals are expiring. For instance, I saw Batwoman was there, but most of the other Arrowverse CW is not available. because they're still finishing out their deals with Netflix.
Right.
But yeah, I agree with you. If it's not available,
don't
because
put
all
it
three,
on your
all
lead
three
characters.
Matrix movies are on Netflix still. So exactly when they drop off, I'm not sure. Now, it could be June 1st, and maybe, you know, they just went a couple of days early because they knew it was going to be there in 4 days. But for all the people that pop on Neo and find nothing, are they going to check back in 4 days to see if it's there?
Yeah.
They might not.
And, I mean, for fans like us, the comic book fans, what do you have for – like release day, like we had Mandalorian with Disney Plus. They have
right,
and it's not like they haven't been developing stuff using DC Universe. They, you know, why aren't they releasing Doom Patrol on day one?
Why
coming
not?
Out
why?
In a couple weeks. What the hell are they doing?
They should have had it ready.
You know, I mean, is Snyder working on it, and we're gonna get the Snyder cut in a couple weeks. I mean, it's there's so much. It was so disappointing, so anticlimactic. That's what makes me so angry. It's just like, what was the point? Especially in this day and age, and this is why everybody, you know, a lot of people are asking 2 months ago, like, why don't they release this early with the coronavirus? Because they're embarrassed.
Right.
It's ridiculous.
They weren't ready. They weren't ready for today. So
right.
They definitely weren't ready for 2 months ago. So.
I feel like I'm like at a campfire and said, let's have some s'mores, and somebody gave me just a damn graham cracker.
Right.
You're like, what the hell is this?
I just got buttered toast. I don't have anything
without
to go inside.
Without the butter.
Right.
you got burnt toast.
Yeah.
Oh, I am like, as
yeah,
I'm,
I was very, I was pretty disappointed. And again, I didn't have a lot of time to dig into it. Probably not as much as, well, I don't know.
I didn't have a lot of time to dig into it because I didn't spend a lot of time because there was nothing there to do with it. There's no reason to dig into it whatsoever. And it's like, if you haven't gotten it yet and you don't have HBO, you can live without it. Don't get it. You're not missing anything because really, I don't know what would suck. Why would you pick? I already had HBO. So this didn't. It's not costing me anything extra to have it.
Well, right. I mean, same here.
It was – so I didn't find it
– but you didn't pick up anything extra by getting it either. And
that's what I
problem.
Mean. If you've been living like, without it, you don't need it.
There's no reason if you already have HBO to have gone – now, again, if you already have HBO, you're probably getting this anyways because most people are including it
right.
if you have it. But yeah, like, you know, again, Disney Plus – and here we are. We're always back to the Marvel movies are better than the DC movies. Now the Disney Plus is better than the Warner Brothers app. But it's like they go the extra mile right out of the gate. Like Disney Plus, and they weren't without their – I mean they had a couple of issues on launch day too. But more or less it was pretty flawless. And then you know you log in and you find stuff you weren't expecting. Like 4K Star Wars that
right.
you didn't know you were going to get. So I expected to log into this and get 4K Lord of the Rings.
Right.
And not only did we not get that, but we didn't get 4K at all. You know? So it's like, did you not?
We didn't get 4K. We got forked.
Right. Weren't you paying attention? You had almost 7 months since the launch of Disney Plus.
I know.
It wasn't like it just happened yesterday. And, you know, these people don't live in a vacuum. There's no way the people developing this app are not keeping tabs on what Disney Plus and Netflix and all these other services are doing. Like, they're not made in a – they didn't make this in a vacuum. And again, I just think it's – I hate to use the word, but it's like disgraceful to launch a service in 2020 and charge more than
everybody
other competitor
else.
And have less functionality. And now, again, it's a very small segment of the population that gives
language.
A – about 4K, or you did it, so I'm going to do it.
I know.
that about 4K or Atmos, but there are those that do care. And like, what did we get? We didn't get anything. So I can watch Wonder Woman on Netflix and get 4K.
Right.
You know?
That's the thing to me is and there's nothing in there. I don't think it has any more content than any other platform for each group of people. And what I mean by like your comic book fans or your movie genre people or you know what I mean? So it's like I mean, if you go with like the comic book nerds, Disney Plus had Marvel and Star Wars. That's awesome. Right. You know, so, and they brought something to the table with The Mandalorian that, you know, do we want more? Yeah. And we would be getting it in like another month and a half if it wasn't for the virus.
Right. We'd be right around the corner from getting.
But even at that, our biggest complaint was, oh, we want more. This one here, we knew day one we weren't getting anything, but we were hopeful for all of this great content that we had hoped to see in 4K, some stuff that hadn't been done. But a lot of this stuff is already produced in 4K.
Right. And it's not like they had to remaster anything.
No. And that's the thing. And here's the thing. And this is one of the positives I'll give you. And this is why it's so friggin' disappointing to me, is they were the first one with Westworld to put out a TV show in Dolby Atmos. It was the first TV show to be put out on DVD with Dolby Atmos. And then, of course, Game of Thrones came out that way. And it's like, they know the technology is there. They know how important that is to a segment, albeit a small segment, but a segment of the population. How do you not do that? How do you not include that stuff? And it's awful. I mean, it's very, very disappointing, because I was very excited for it today. And then you're like, what's this? It's the same as HBO Now. So
yeah, I was the same. I was, you know, I was checking at midnight last night, because once again, Disney Plus gave it to us at midnight.
Yeah,
I don't know when this. Actually, it was even earlier. Like, they sneakily snuck, you know, had it up on the App Store pretty early the night before.
Well, that's another one I wasn't even going to get into, but they've been telling me that, because of the way I signed up, my app is just going to automatically update. Be sure to set my Apple TV to automatic updates, and I'll just wake up and have HBO Max.
But
Nope. Yeah. I had to go in and find HBO Max under apps and hit update, and then it updated. And it was no problem. I mean, it's a 5-minute fix, but you're like, why isn't it there? So when I checked at 3 a.m, when I happened to be up, I'm like, huh, I guess it hasn't dropped yet. Checked at 6 a.m. Oh, maybe it's dropping later. So maybe I had it. I hadn't done the legwork then, right?
Right. And I didn't check in the middle of the night either, but I did check before I went to bed around, well, I went to bed a little bit later than 12, but that's the last time I checked.
Yeah. So.
And then, what else was, I was just going to say, oh, and like I said, I still haven't figured out I still cannot log in on any of my devices other than, you know, I can't log in on my phone or my tablet.
Don't even worry about it. You don't have to.
What? No, sucks. I know. I don't care anyways, but yeah, I still can't log in for some reason. So I don't know what's going on with that either. But that is also an issue, because there are a lot of people that will only log in and watch things through their phone or their tablet.
Get Quibi.
And it may only be because, like I said, it may not function for people who are setting up new accounts and signing up through HBO Max. But for me, that's trying to log in through my provider, it's not working.
Right.
So I don't know what's going on with that. And I know the password is this, I mean, obviously, because I logged in on my PC, so I know what my password is.
Right.
But it's just not working at all. So hopefully some of these are bugs. And, you know, I did a little Google foo, and 4K is supposedly somewhere around the corner. But,
it shouldn't have to be.
Right.
And it'll be nice when it is, and that's great, but it shouldn't have to be.
Right.
Yeah. So.
All right. Enough of that.
All right. I have a PSA type thing. While I'm on a rant right here, this made me sick today. So, Joe graduated college, and he's got an engineering degree, and he's looking for a job. And we found out today that there's a scam going on out there. I've never heard of this. There's a scam where they bring you in, they hire you, and then you show up at the job and there's no job there. They send you to an empty building and there's no job there. But because you went through all the stuff at an office building and they signed up, they basically empty your bank account because you sign up for direct deposit and everything.
Oh, I was going to say, what are they doing? Like, what's their end game?
So,
that's not good.
How awful. I was like, first and foremost, I was thinking of graduates. I'm like, how crappy is that, where you're excited to get your first job and you show up to like what would be a factory as an engineer? You're going to work on, you know, as an engineer, and you're like, all right, I got my first job. And you're like, wait a minute, I have my bank account emptied and I still don't have a job. But then
college grads have empty bank accounts anyway. So right, I don't know what they're getting out of that.
Right. But that's the thing is at first I just felt like I felt bad for these kids, how excited they were to get their first job.
Yeah.
Right. And
yeah.
It's like, and then to be like, you're going to tell everybody, you're going to tell your parents, and then you're going to have to, you know, go home and be like, I got scammed. Right. How awful is that? And then we started to, I'm like, what about the people with this virus going on that think they've been unemployed and now they're excited. Right. They think they have a job. And their savings is emptied.
Yeah.
I'm like, so it's the way he found out about it is he got like four identical emails from four different companies saying they're looking for these different credentials. And it's all like the degrees you need and everything. And it's basically, and he goes, this doesn't seem right. And he looked into it and he's like, holy crap. And he was laughing but he didn't go, obviously he didn't go through it. I'm like, that is like one of, hey, I know this is going crazy, but I'm like, I go, you know what? At least if you kill somebody, that person's at peace. They're dead.
Right.
I'm like, this is torture to somebody. It's like, because you what it's like to be unemployed and like trying to support a family. And then you think you got a job, but no, now you're even more broke. I'm like, that's awful. Awful. So,
yeah, that is terrible. I hadn't
PSA,
heard that,
look out for that if you're looking for a job. I'm like, because that's horrible. So,
all right.
So now let's get to bright side stuff. There's been talk lately, but I don't know if anything's happening, but bright side backcrackers are still in the works. We're working hard at training camp.
All right. Yeah. We're still there. Social distancing.
If you're paying attention to any sports, there's all rumors of when they're going to, the rumors are starting to heat up of when they're going to start. So that means that Brightside Backcrackers are, you know, they're running extra hard now. It's getting in shape.
Gotta get up that Corona weight.
Yeah, exactly. What else have you got?
Looks like Sony Pictures is working on another Marvel project, character called Jackpot, who I've never heard of actually until I read this story.
Good old Jackpot.
Character. Yeah. I'd imagine Black Cat related, because it sounds luck based. I would imagine she's got some kind of, you know, luck powers like Domino or Black Cat. So I don't know, but yeah, and we'll talk about that a little bit later when we get into our back issue bonus as well. But that, along with Madam Web, is also supposed to be in development. So a bunch of lesser known Spider-Man characters that, you know, they have the rights to all of the Spider-Man property, so I guess they're going to try to do the Marvel thing with the C and D level characters that people aren't really as familiar with. I'm more inclined to be interested in this than I am Madam Web, to be quite honest with you. I don't know that that's a premise for a movie that I'm that interested in.
Yeah.
But this one could be good.
You never, if it's done well, that's great.
Well, right. I mean, anything you could say that about, really. Anything that's done well is probably worth watching. But Madam Web is really on the lower end of characters that I have a lot of interest in seeing a movie with. And then the only other thing I have is Disney Plus. Looks like they're have announced a Kingdom Hearts TV show. I don't know if you're familiar or for those that are not, but a very popular video game series that it's kind of like the Mario All-Stars, where like all the different Disney characters from across different genres are all kind of brought together in this video game series. I've not ever played it or seen it, but I know it's got a rabid fan base because I get merchandise in here and there and it always sells pretty quickly. So definitely something, and it looks like a CGI show. I don't think it's live action, but I'm not 100% sure what they're doing with that. Could be kind of a mix, like maybe like Roger Rabbit or something.
All right. So I got a few tweets and then another conversation that's way more positive. Let's see. So Dr. Joe Gilmore on Twitter, at Brightside Chat, at Arkham Comics, in no way, shape, or form does this movie hold up. But man, do I love this movie. I have such fond memories of this movie being on over the weekends and watching it on rainy days. So many fond memories. Referring to our podcast on Monday about Superman.
Superman, right?
Yeah, so.
I agree 100% with that, really. Yeah.
And it's funny because that's what these movies are like. And like you said, like we've done quite a few of them lately where you're like, man.
It's like, we might be doing another one Monday, you know. We'll have to wait. We'll have to wait and see.
Yep, exactly. yeah, that was – but that's how you feel about them. That's why. And I know you even said in one of the podcasts, you're like, I don't want to watch these anymore because it's ruining my childhood.
When we talked about Spider-Man, actually. It's kind of like – it's almost like something gets taken away from you because your fond memories – you can kind of live on those memories for a long time, like Dr. Joe does, right? But then when you watch it again, they're somehow tainted because it's not quite as sweet as you remembered it. So
that's so funny. Yeah. And hey, I had forgotten about this until Ryan, I believe in you, and you believe, and you do too, or I think I, it keeps on going on Twitter at NUEX guy, Nukes guy. He wrote, The money truck banter is gold. Those sneaky money trucks. He wrote, and I'd forgotten about it when he tweeted that. I think it was like the next day or Friday. And I was like, money truck. That was funny.
I didn't see that tweet.
Oh, you didn't see that? Yeah. He was cracking up over a money truck. I thought it was funny.
Still waiting for it.
Yeah.
Exactly. I was out there today looking. Still hasn't come down the street yet.
No.
So.
All right, now here's a. Did you see last week's episode of Mandalorian, the Disney Gallery episode 4?
Yes.
Technology.
Yes.
Was that awesome?
Yeah.
The
whole thing's been great, actually.
It really has. But this one here, I thought was. I watched it. I was like, Joe, you've got to see this because he loves video games too. And I had sent it to Dr. Joe. And said, like, because Dr. Joe runs this Twitch page. He's big into video games. And if you see, like, this is, like, the entire show was based off of that they invented a new technology using the game engines.
Yeah.
And it's watching this. If you haven't seen this or you have Disney Plus, check this out because it's, like I said, it's Disney Gallery Episode 4. It's called titled Technology, and they basically made it so that they never have to go on location again.
Yeah.
You just send the guy out with a camera, he gets a picture of the area, and then they can recreate. It's amazing what they can recreate. And it was so much fun to watch. And it's like, I liked how, when they're doing the little round table stuff and they're like, people were like looking off in the background. What was the room called?
I can't remember. Yeah.
I can't remember the name too. And I've seen the show 3 times, but
I've only seen it once.
They were like, they thought they were looking out to like a sunset or,
right.
And they actually referenced that in one of them that it was like to be able to shoot a 10 hour sunset.
Basically have
scene.
A light, right. And have the light, right. Have the perfect light all day long.
Right.
Because again, in the old days, you could get that shot once a day.
Yeah.
And if you messed up
15
your
minutes and then then the angles of the sun are all different.
And they might not be the same tomorrow even,
right.
You know.
You could get clouds. It's unbelievable what they've done with the technology. And I even like Kyle Weathers, his example of like when you have when they were in the raft on the lava lake, river. And he's like, you know, usually you'll have the director telling, you know, 4 people in a raft and be like, you're looking at this. And 4 people using their imagination on what they're looking at. And maybe they're not imagining the exact same thing. So you're going to get 4 different expressions or whatever. And he goes, and here it's dead. You know exactly what you're looking at.
Right. You're
like,
in it.
You're in it. And it's like, I mean, he goes, I didn't want to fall out of the boat. It was like, because it looks so real. It was amazing what that's like. And those TVs and that's a big talk in our home theater, in the home theater world, on what they're doing with those TVs, but not to that extent. It is really, really cool. Highly recommend it. And so much fun to just see like what they're doing. I thought it was really, really cool.
Yeah. It's pretty amazing stuff.
Yeah.
I saw all that firsthand when I was filming my spot for season 2.
Oh, so yeah.
I'll be able to tell you about it after the NDA is
did
lifted.
You, Did you steal me a space rock?
I can't tell you. I can tell you after the NDA is lifted.
Oh, okay. I think you violated it already.
Yeah. I gave away my name, hardworking moonwalker.
Gonna have to IMDb that.
Yeah. They set my head on fire and I have to run around with a Pepsi can. So it's amazing.
Jesus. All right. Let's before we get to any more dumb dad jokes or something. what do we got? Is that all we have? I'm all out of sorts. Yeah. At least we're laughing and we're not.
That joke
is
still washing over you.
Yes, it is. It's going to wash over me even more when I listen to this back.
Yeah.
All right. Is that all we have?
Yes.
All right. Let's get to some comic books because this is a comic book podcast. We're not supposed to be ranting about bad things. So let's get to some comic books. What am I going to spend my money on this week?
All right. So we had a few books come out today that people were looking for. The first one is Blackwood Morning After. Issue number 3 has a Momoko variant cover. This is selling for between $30 and $35. So this is an artist that has already a pretty rabid fan base. And the print run for this book has got to be next to nothing. I didn't order any of these. I didn't sell any of Blackwood Morning, which was the prequel miniseries to this a year or so ago. So I don't think there's a bunch of them out there, especially with this variant cover. But if you can find one, it's definitely worth grabbing because it's selling pretty steadily at that rate, $30 to $35. Next, we have Venom issue 25. This is the first appearance of a character named Virus. We would have already met this character in the Free Comic Book Day book that would have come out at the beginning of May, but unfortunately we didn't get that, so this is actually the first appearance of this character. With that being said, the prices haven't really gone crazy on this. Most of the ratio variants are selling under ratio. There's tons of retailer exclusives out there for this book. Unfortunately, I want to say I sold out of this, but it's kind of comes with an asterisk because half of my shipment was damaged. So I wasn't even able to fulfill all of my subscribers. So while I did have multiple people looking for it today, I don't know how well it would have sold because I didn't have any. I had a couple of variant covers and all of those sold pretty quickly. So definitely one to grab if you can. There's a retailer incentive variant cover that also came out today that was handed out at the retailer summit. We were able to order copies through Diamond, and I sold all mine today on that for about $15 a piece. So cool. Also one to look for. And then last, I have this under back issue bonus, but this actually came out today as well. Although I think it was scheduled for last week. And some stores may have got it last week. I'm not 100% sure. But Marvel Action Avengers, issue number 10. This has the first appearance of the Yellow Hulk. So what's funny about this is that this is actually the IDW-published kids series of Marvel characters. So, you know, again, not one that I think most stores order a lot of copies of. I order a couple just to put on my kid's spinner rack at the front door. And, you know, I'm still sitting on copies of like 7, 8, and 9 on that rack. So these don't usually sell very quickly. But this thing is also going for about $40 right now. Pretty steady on eBay. And then there's a 1 in 10 variant that's selling for over $50. Had multiple people looking for this today. Also, once again, I only had 2 copies of this. Both of them sold before I opened. Through my website for cover price. I don't want to say I got taken on it because, you know, I mean, that's what I would have sell them for normally is $3.99, but
right.
Definitely one that I could have made a few extra dollars on if I would have known about this or been aware of it before this morning. So, I don't know what's going to happen with the Yellow Hulk or what this means. These stories aren't even in continuity with Marvel Comics. They're made by IDW and, like I said, specifically for, like, younger readers. So I don't know what all the hype is about, but it's definitely worth picking one of these up if you can find one, because I think most stores order very low on these books. So,
all right.
That's it for Speculator, yes.
All righty. Let's get into back issue bonus. It's been a while since we've had a list like this for back issue.
It has. And some of these, I think we've talked about one or two of these already over the last couple of weeks. But the first one is The Amazing Spider-Man. This is the Free Comic Book Day comic from 2007. So, you know, a while back. But this is the first appearance of Jackpot. So, like we talked about a few minutes ago, Jackpot is in the rumors with Sony to have a movie being made of her. So people started looking for this book right as soon as they announced that. And CGC lists this book as her first official first appearance. So this is selling for between $30 and $40. Her actual first appearance in like a Marvel continuity book is Amazing Spider-Man 546. That book also is spiked between $25 and $30. That also happens to be the first appearance of Mr. Negative, who we all know from the Sony video game on PlayStation 4. So either one of those are definitely worth picking up if you can. And we'll see what happens with the movie. If it falls through, then this probably goes back to being worth next to nothing, but you know, who knows. Also, Free Comic Book Day, and I, you know, honestly, I didn't think about this till just now, but I probably have some of these in a box somewhere in my off in my storeroom. I need to go look for from 2016.
Is that a humble brag?
no, but I'm saying I have books from every Free Comic Book Day since I've been open.
Right.
I've had
books left over. Yeah.
And they're just in boxes, and I pull them back out every year and put them on the table. So when I have Free Comic Book Day, I've got books from like the last 5 years on the table. But in 2016, there was a One Punch Man. And there's also rumors of a Sony film project with One Punch Man. One Punch Man is already a very popular anime, series. It's probably on Crunchyroll on HBO Max. Right now, I think it's my number two selling manga series behind My Hero Academia. So, a very popular character, and this thing's selling for $50 to $60 right now. So, also one to look for. We've talked about this book before, but Ultimate Fallout number 4. This is the first appearance of Miles Morales. I don't know exactly what's driving it right now, because there's not... You know, like, you know, there's no Into the Spider-Verse or anything happening right at the moment. But this book continues to rise. Raw copies now are pushing almost $200. To put that in perspective, I just sold my last copy about 2.5 months ago for $110. And it was pretty mint, still sealed in the bag. So, I mean, it was a great copy. And it's already almost doubled since then. So,
wow.
There was a 9.8 CGC copy that just sold for over $700. So that's, you know, again,
a lot of money.
It's a key, yeah, and it's a key book, and it's been one for a while. But I mean, I've sold at least 4 copies of this in the last 2 years, and they started out at $25 2 years ago. So
right.
That's a major increase. And now, that's the thing. Since then, we had the movie, which definitely caused a spike in the book. But I don't know what's continuing to drive it at the moment, because there's no rumors that I've heard anyway of a live action Miles Morales. And I know they're doing an Into the Spider-Verse 2, but that's a couple years away. So, don't know what's driving it. Other than that, like I said, that it's just a key book for a very popular character. So it's going to keep rising. Another Spider-Man book, Amazing Spider-Man number 4 from 2014. This is the first appearance of Silk. This is another book that continues to keep rising. It's gone from $20, $25 to now almost $70. So there are rumors of Silk appearing somewhere live action in the near future. So if that becomes true, I would expect this to continue to rise as well. So get out there and find your copies before it gets too, before it's too late. From Vertigo, we have Sweet Tooth number one. This is announced to have recently been picked up for TV by Robert Downey Jr.'s production company. So, you know, whether he's going to star in it or just produce it or what have you remains to be seen. But the market on this continues to rise, also selling now between $65 and $100. So,
did you say Sweet Tooth number one?
Sweet Tooth number one.
Oh, okay. Yep.
Next, I think is a book I think we talked about last week, but I don't remember. Old Guard number one. This is a movie on Netflix featuring Charlize Theron. They actually just dropped the trailer for this the other day on Netflix, so that's starting to get the excitement for this. This one's still relatively inexpensive in comparison. You can still pick up copies for around $15. So might be worth going out and grabbing one. And then there's a gold foil variant that was sent as like a one per store that's selling for about $25. So,
yeah, I actually got a few comments on that this week. Martin contacted me directly. I talked to some people on Twitter about it. People that Martin has read it, and he's like, you have to read that. He said, it's really, really good. Yeah. And I was like, I want it to be, I know it's going to be a movie. And I had said initially, I was pretty disappointed that it wasn't a series.
Right.
But I think part of that is, I mean, that's kind of what the day and age we're in. Like, we just want the content. And don't you feel like you're getting shortchanged when they take something like that and go, here's a 2-hour movie?
Yeah, I always, well, we've said it before now. Yeah. I don't ever want movies again, honestly. Like, I want everything to be a series. So, you know, with the production quality we get now from these streaming services, it's not like you're giving anything up in production quality and you're just getting more content. So, I think if anything's going to kill the movie industry, it's not going to be VOD. It's going to be the fact that everything just becomes a series and you can't go to a theater and strap in for 6 or 7 episodes.
Well, so, actually, you could.
I mean, you could.
What if all of a sudden they started releasing it like that weekly?
Yeah.
And you had to go to your Cineplex to watch Mandalorian.
It'd be great.
Season 3. How cool would that be?
They'd have to drop you. You know, you'd have to be paying like $3 a seat. You know, you can't be paying.
Probably $8, half price, because it'd be a 40-minute whatever. But, yeah, same idea. And, I mean, that would be that one way to support them. But, I mean, getting back to that technology that was in that episode of on Disney Plus about what they're doing with Mandalorian is that technology is only making it cheaper to make these shows.
Right.
Because you don't have to do all the travel and stuff. And that technology will only get cheaper. So imagine the stuff that they can do.
Yeah.
But yeah, okay. That little tangent there.
Yeah, no, really cool. And then last but not least, another book that I don't really know what's driving the price on this, but Spawn issue 241. We've talked about several Spawn issues in this range, you know, in this like number range. They're just really low print runs for any of the issues in the 200s.
Yeah, didn't we just have 300 like 6 months ago or something like that?
Yeah, yeah. We've talked about a few of them over the last few months. But this one's selling, you know, anywhere from $30 to almost $150 based on condition. And again, as far as I know, this is just based on the print run. Nothing key, you know, it's not like a key book. There's no real reason for it. And I don't know what's driving it other than there's just perpetual mumblings about Todd McFarlane working on the Spawn movie. So it's probably just people wanting to fill in these runs and get all the books. So,
all right.
That's it.
All right. That was awesome. I feel like we're back.
Yeah.
All that back
issue felt normal today.
Yeah. Doesn't it?
As I was having to do all this work today, I was like, oh, well.
I know.
Honeymoon's over.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. When I saw that, when you sent me the list of everything, I was like, oh, I like my eyes lit up. I was like, that's awesome. I'm like, we're back. I'm like, it feels great. Yeah. And it's only going to get, you know, more normal.
Yeah, it's going to get, right. It's just going to continue to, churn out. Like, but this, you know, felt more like a new comic book day to me. Like today was the first day that it really kind of felt like things were back. Still wasn't like, it wasn't the best.
Not
Wednesday
a ton.
I've ever, yeah. It wasn't the best Wednesday I've ever had, but I had a lot of my regulars roll out. You know, I did a pretty decent amount of sales. But everybody that would be picking up books showed up. They just had less to pick up, but they were still all here. Like, you know, they pretty much all came out. So it was good to see all those people and have a bunch of people coming through the store and, you know, got to have a bunch of conversations today that I've kind of been missing out on for a while. So it was a fun day. Like I enjoyed myself today. So
did you see my tweets this morning about Friendly Neighborhood?
Yeah, I did. Now I wasn't sure. I'm assuming that's just for curbside and not for in-store.
That's all we can do.
Yeah, well, I didn't know.
Store,
yeah,
right?
I didn't know, so I wanted to find out.
We pulled up. They were opening at 9, so we pulled up at like 10 of, and they were just, Ernie and Slade were just pulling out the racks, and both Joe and I were like, yes, that is a great idea. I'm like, because that's new comic book day. It's like you'll have your pull list, but I want to be able to, you know, browse the rack. I want to be able to look, and if you got to do it curbside and like call up, what do you do? Call and pick me something good, you know, which I know Slade will do. But it's nice to be able to see the rack, so at least we can do that, especially now if it's nice out.
Right.
But that was it. That even felt good. And talking to Ernie and Slade again and being like, hey, you know, like it's just, I know we're on the outside of the store, and I mean, but hey. Anything to get back to normal and buy some books and read. And like I said last week, I'm like, I wanted to be able to read books, like hold the book in my hand. And it's nice. It's nice. So, all right, let's get to FOC for next Monday.
All right. So starting out with Dark Horse, we have Barbalian, who's a character from, I just drew a complete
Barbarella?
Blank. No. Oh, my God. I just drew a blank. Jeff Lemire. can't think of it. Ongoing series of characters. I'm going to have to put it on pause. Hold on. Cause
I'll get it. You keep talking. I'll pull it up.
Yeah. Just to search his name. It'll come up. This is a miniseries. Issue 1 of 5. There's 2 covers. For that. Also from Dark Horse, we have God of War, Fallen God, #1. This is also a 4-issue miniseries, obviously based off of the video game series God of War. Moving into DC Comics, we have Aquaman, #60, variant cover by Tyler Kirkham. We have Batman, #93. This is the Francesco Mattina cover. Now, we've seen this one before, but this is a really, really good Harley Quinn cover. And then Batgirl, #46, has a really cool In-Hyuk Lee variant cover.
Cool.
DC had no new series.
Okay, back to that other one. Was it Black Hammer Universe?
Black Hammer, yes. Yeah. I was going to say Black something, but I couldn't think of what it was.
Yeah,
Black Hammer. So the Black Hammer Universe... pretty ongoing, you know, long-running series from Dark Horse, and there's been a bunch of spin-off. He's one of the main characters from he's basically the Martian Manhunter of that universe, and really cool character. So I like that series quite a bit. All right, so moving from DC, we have IDW. We have Chained to the Grave, issue #1 of 5 with 1 cover. And Sleeping Beauties, issue #1 of 10 with 2 covers. From Marvel Comics, we have variant covers. 2020 Rescue, issue #2 has a Mirka Andolfo variant cover. Immortal Hulk #4 has In-Hyuk Lee. This is the Zombies variant cover. And then Thor #5, Jung Jin Yoon has a zombie cover as well. Both of those are really cool. Also, no new series from Marvel. And then last but not least, from Dynamite Comics, we have Betty Page, issue number 1. And there's the standard Dynamite 15 or so covers for that. So there's at least 15. It's probably more. So, cool. And that's it for FOC.
Awesome. I was able to see the Batgirl one. I wasn't able to find the Matina, the Batman number 93.
This was, now remember, this was the issue that was supposed to have the punchline cover that Art Germ did. And then remember when they moved up that to issue 92, this is the cover that Matina did for 93. So we've seen it before.
We've seen it, okay.
Yeah.
For some reason it wasn't coming up, but it's probably labeled as a 92 still or something like that.
Maybe, I'm not sure.
I'll have to look for
but
that.
But yeah, it's...
I know the one you're talking about now, but yeah.
Yeah, both of those Batman and Batgirl covers, I think, are my two favorites for the week.
That Batgirl one's really nice.
It's really
nice. I like
that. The Thor cover is also pretty cool. So anyone...
Number 5?
Yeah, definitely worth picking up.
Cool.
So.
All right. Let's get to checkout. We All both right. have read some books. We have plenty of books. What did you check out this week, John?
First book I checked out was from... Actually, both of mine are from Aftershock Comics, which I don't think has ever happened. This first one I read was Dead Day, issue number 1. Like I said, from Aftershock Comics. It was written by Ryan Parrott. It had art by Yevgeny Bornyakov. Cover art by Andy Clark. So this was kind of a mashup, I would say, of Coco from Pixar and I guess The Walking Dead. So the premise of this is that kind of like on, you know, I don't guess you've seen Coco, but it's basically Dia de los Muertos, which you know, is celebrated every year on Halloween Eve, and supposedly that's where your dead loved ones can come back and visit with you. So this is a very similar premise. It's not once a year, but and they didn't say specifically, but this is a holiday that happens whenever the stars align, basically, for it to happen. But for, you know, from sundown to sunrise, the dead rise and come back and unlike like a Walking Dead type of thing where they're zombies and they're trying to eat your face, they're, you know, they will spend time with their loved ones or their family, but some of them might be back to settle old scores, or, you know, like it's not always a great encounter with the dead. So with that premise in mind, you know, we meet the family that we're kind of focused on, and, you know, their preparations for how the night's going to go. The mother basically is married with two children, but had been, it's unclear whether she was just engaged or actually married previously, and, you know, her spouse slash husband died, and she was going to fulfill her promise to meet with him on Dead Day. So, that's kind of what was setting up that book. This was really cool, actually. I wasn't sure what to expect. Yeah, I wasn't sure what to expect with this. I really like the artwork a lot. I'm going to have to go back and look because I've mentioned this artist before, but I don't remember what book it was in association with. But I really liked the art in this, and I thought it was written really well. I liked the characters, and while it's not the most new premise, because it's kind of been at least done in some fashion before, it was pretty interesting and unique. So I definitely recommend it. Like I said, I really liked it. I don't know where it's going to go past the first issue, but now that I'm looking down further, it's the artist that did You Are Obsolete, which we liked. And that was
just looking at that. Yep.
Yeah, also an Aftershock book. I knew I'd mentioned his name before.
Yeah.
Like I said, I liked his art in that book as well. So, like I said, really cool. I definitely recommend checking it out.
I actually had that in my hands today.
Yeah.
And Joe was with me, and he goes, he's like, oh, look at you checking out the zombie books. And I've read a few zombie books lately, and I was like, yeah, you're right. And I put it back. So
that's kind of how I felt about it, too. But it was a little bit more than a zombie book.
That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Like I said, definitely check it out.
I think I will. My first book is Star Wars Dr. Aphra, number one. Marvel Comics, writer Alyssa Wong, artist Cresta Marica.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, so if you're following along, which I know you are, we've read most of the Star Wars books that have come out. Bounty Hunters, you've got the, what was it, the Leia one?
Yeah.
There's a few. Darth Vader. But we're following, I think one's just called Star Wars, right?
Yeah.
They're all on my pull list, the monthly, whatever. So obviously I picked this one up. It takes place the same time period, right after Empire. And this one is Dr. Aphra is like, you see her. It's, they're on Hoth. The book opens up on Hoth after the rebels escape. So the planet's empty. And it has a little bit, you know, it has that pretty cool beginning to get you into that. Like most of these Star Wars books that are coming out right now in that time period, they bring you in at that time of the movie, at the end of the movie,
right,
to set the stage. But this book didn't do it for me. So you know how all the other books have, they've had some cool stuff, interactions with characters that you're like, oh, this one's from a movie, like we said, the similar one, I think the Star Wars one where Lando and Leia, and we got interactions right after they left, like Cloud City and everything. And so that was kind of fun. And then at the end of the book, you had a cool twist that you were like, I can't wait for the next book. Well, this being a number one, the reason I grabbed it, I'm like, I want that. I'm looking forward to that. This thing, one, it didn't grab me, and two, there's nothing at the end that makes you go, ooh, there was nothing. They're on a quest for these rings. It's not a spoiler. It's at 2 pages in, whatever. They're looking for these magic rings that are supposed to hold some power. And it really is just all character building, and there's nothing really grabbing you. There's a Wookiee in there that's not Chewbacca. That's about it, but it.
So I'm assuming you did not read the first Dr. Aphra series.
No.
Okay, because this is not a new character. This is the second series, kind of like they did with Darth Vader.
Right.
Where the first series ran for 25-ish issues or so, and then it stopped, and now it's being picked back up again. So I don't know. I didn't get a chance to read this today, but I really enjoyed the first series. I like
the character. So what was cool about the first series that you like? Because like I said, I'm like,
I love the Wookiee, Black Kazakhstan, or Kazakhstan or whatever it's called. The droids are awesome. BT-8 and 000, whether they were in this book or not, I'm not
sure. They were, but they didn't really do anything. I said, nothing grabs you. It's like the droid beeped.
Yeah, well, and like I said, I don't know because I didn't read this, and it could be terrible. Like, I'm not saying that it's
not. I'm not saying it's terrible. It's not terrible, but it didn't grab me and make me be like, I can't wait for the second one.
Yeah, I just liked, because these are all completely new characters. You know, what you're longing for is the connection to the movies, and these characters don't have them. They just happen to take place around the same time period as the characters that we like. Like, she appeared pretty extensively with Darth Vader throughout his first run of his comic, and she spun out of that into her own. She's just a really fun character, and those droids are great. The humor and they're really fun. So
then I'll be interested to hear your take.
I don't know what happened in this book necessarily, and it's definitely on my to read list. But I might be willing to go a little bit further with it because I had the experience of reading the first series, and I know the characters a little bit more. But for that being said, I'll give it a read, and we can definitely talk about it again.
Yeah, because I think the characters you're looking, like everything you're saying, I'm like, maybe I missed it, because, but
Or well, maybe it just wasn't there. I don't know.
Exactly. That's what I think. In my opinion, it's like all the cool stuff you're saying, I'm like, it wasn't even there.
Different so writers. It looked, so
it looks like she's going in a different direction.
Okay.
And that's what I think is disappointing, is that it's like, okay, so you've read it. You know the character and the world that she's in. But for new readers, there's nothing there to grab you. It's like, so maybe it's only meant for people that are like used to it, but that to me doesn't seem very smart.
That's not the way you launch a series, though.
Exactly.
Because you're looking for new readers with a number one, so you have to set the stage for that. So like I said, I don't know. I'm a little disappointed that you were disappointed, because I was looking forward to reading that. And I'm still going to, but...
Well, John, maybe you can bring the bright side to this book.
Well, I wouldn't hold my breath for that, because you know me. But if you didn't like it, I probably...
I am kind of in a bad mood today, so holding up the role of John.
I maybe liked it even less than you, so I'm a little bit harder to please when it comes to this stuff, so we'll see. But I don't know. I'll read it, and we can revisit.
Cool. All right. What did you think of this next one? Because I actually read this one as well.
Yeah, Disaster Inc. issue number one, also from Aftershock Comics. This is written by Joe Harris, had art by Sebastian Parise, cover art by Andy Clark, who also did the cover art for Dead Day number one. So he was busy. so this is set up around an entity called Disaster Inc., and they are a company that provides, I would call them extreme vacations to disaster sites, basically, places where you're not supposed to go. So they kind of set the stage in this book, talking about an earthquake that happened back in 2011 that caused, you know, like tsunamis and a lot of catastrophe that kind of reached the power plant and caused a nuclear meltdown. So this is kind of like now the Japanese Chernobyl. And, you know, it's definitely an area where everybody has moved out. Nobody can live there. And it's a disaster site. And apparently this group of people want to take a vacation there. So, you know, it's a bunch of rich, thrill-seeking D-bags, you know, that are going on this vacation. But it kind of starts out, which is a little weird, with a couple of people in there, like, doing, like, a science experiment or something, looking for butterflies. And, like, I'm not quite sure what organization they're with that sent these people into a nuclear disaster site.
Well, their characters in the book, it's like it must be a flash forward, because they're actually characters in the rest of the book.
They are, but I don't know what they were doing there. Like, you know, Greenpeace didn't send them in there to look at butterflies in a nuclear disaster site. So I'm not quite sure why they were there. But, you know, the subtext to all of this is there's some weird stuff going on. There's maybe a supernatural element that I'm not quite sure of.
Well, it's on the cover.
But they do talk about, because they talk about, like these, cleanup crew, I guess, Japanese people that went in during the disaster, and they called them like the samurai, because I guess they were going in knowing that they probably weren't going to come out or what have you.
Because samurai, they were so good at planning and whatever, but they also sacrificed themselves if necessary. And the elders did that in this book. Yeah.
So there's shades of like samurai going on, but it's unclear whether they're like dead. Like I said, whether it's a supernatural element or whether they're just survivors that are in you're not really sure yet. So there's some sub story that's going on that we don't really know about. But, you know, after that setup, you really just spend most of the time meeting the characters on their trip to the disaster site. So I'm not 100% sure how I feel about this. I was intrigued by it. I don't know if it's enough to keep me going on it or not. I thought the art was fair to good. Like, it didn't blow me away as much as the last book did, but it definitely wasn't bad. And I don't know what I guess what your thoughts were on it.
I thought it did grab me. I loved the beginning of it. You just think first page is, like you said, they're looking at butterflies and you're just thinking, oh, all of these nice things. And then it does a real quick heel turn there and you're like, whoa, okay.
Yeah.
And then comes right back and to a normalcy, and you're spending. I thought that opening was so good that it set the tone for the rest of the book. Like, what's going to happen next? What's going to happen next?
Right.
And I thought the artwork I thought it matched that really well, because the artwork was fairly simplistic, like, you know, simple drawings, watercolor, pastels type deal. And the artwork left you feeling calm, like similar to like those butterflies at the beginning.
Yeah.
But you were on the edge of your seat, because when you see what does take place in like the first quarter of the book, you're like, ugh. And the rest of the way, you're not calm and you're wondering, where does this go? And I love the idea, the way they wrote it. And I'm very intrigued on where it's going to go in two. And it isn't a book that I probably would normally read, which obviously I know I've been saying a lot
about.
Well,
it's not the bright side. Yeah.
No, exactly.
Not fun.
But it was engaging enough, moved along quickly, and it makes you go, at least it did for me, it makes me like, where are they going with this? Like, what? I mean, and then I was looking, it's like, is this based in a reality event? I don't remember this happening in 2011 or whatever. It's
like, yeah, no, I don't believe so. No.
But no, it was really, I was intrigued. I thought it was really good. Cool. I'm hoping hopefully, and we do this a lot. We're like, this is really good. And then you're like, oh, remember that book a year later?
Yeah. Yeah, we kind of forget about it.
Didn't read it. But yeah, I'm hoping to be able to follow it up. It was pretty good.
Cool. Yeah.
The last one I read for today, Rogue Planet number one.
Yeah.
Oni Press. Mm-hmm. Written by Cullen Bunn. No, I'm just kidding. We always have trouble with names. I figured this one's easy.
Cullen Bunn.
Yeah, Cullen Bunn. Art by Andy McDonald. And this one was very similar to Disaster Inc. and a cool, crazy opening. And it made you feel uneasy the rest of the way. I actually read it to Joe. I don't want to tell you what it is, but I was like, he's really into it. This one here has a real alien feel. The movie Alien, where the humans in this book go to another planet and they're exploring and trying to figure things out of what's going on there. And the way this opens up in literally the first two pages, like, you'll read the first page, turn the page, and you're like, what the hell? And I was kind of blown away by it. I won't say any more than that. Joe was like, yeah, okay. I'm like, did you see what just happened? And we could talk, if you check it out, we'll talk about it maybe next week. And there's a slight difference between Joe's perspective and my perspective, and you'll see what I'm talking about here. But yeah, because of that opening and the way it grabs you and gives you this almost like sense of fear, doubt, whatever. The rest of the book, it did have that, like, where are these people going? Where are these humans going on this planet? It's set in the future. They're exploring other worlds and they're wondering if they're the only ones there. Pretty good mystery. I liked the artwork. I liked it a lot, actually. This one's a little busier. It's not as nice as Disaster Inc. and nice as, what I mean by that is calm and, this one's a little busier, a little bit more horror-ish. But yeah, I thought it was an entertaining read, and another one that's, you're going to be like, wow, okay, this is different. Especially, like I said, those first two pages.
Cool.
So, and that's about it for me.
All right.
You get. I didn't get a chance to read anything else.
I didn't really either. I read Aquaman, It was fine, but it was just like, you know, nothing special. I mean, it was just like the next issue, you know, the story just continued from the last issue. So,
right.
But I read that, and I think I read Ghost Spider. I read a couple of other issues, but those were the new ones, you know, the main ones that I read.
I checked the weather and there was rain coming in for tomorrow and I had to roof my gazebo. Oh, so Joe and I got out there and got on the roof of that thing and got that done. So I wasn't able to do any more reading. And, but I have Harley, Joker Harley, Criminal Insanity number four. How was it?
It was good. Yeah, really good.
I love that series. So I'm really looking forward to that. And I have my fun Batman Beyond to read. And I picked up a couple other books today, too, that I'm looking forward to. One of them's a, I wish I brought it down with me. It's actually a, Ernie turned me on to it. It's a graphic novel. It looks pretty good.
Okay.
I'll probably talk about it next week. But I have a quick ad for that I'd like to do. I'll send out the pictures later. But while I was on the roof of my gazebo.
We have sponsors?
No, we don't. But I'd be remiss if I didn't say this.
Okay.
So I'm on the at the end of the night, I'm on the roof of the gazebo. It's the lowest point is 7 feet off the ground where the edge is, right? You've seen it.
Yep.
And so I got my feet on and my butt are on the gazebo. I'm sliding down to the ladder and my knees are up, so the pocket in my Carhartt pants, which has my phone in it, are the opening for the pocket is facing down. Phone slides out, slides down the roof, right off the edge, onto the concrete patio. My life, flashed before my eyes.
Right.
And there it is, sitting in two pieces on the ground with my TeePublic Brightside phone case completely fine.
Nice.
It saved it. And it wasn't even the protective one. It was just the cheaper, just like decorative one.
Right.
It's got a little tiny nick in one of the corners from, I guess, where it bounced. But nothing wrong with it. So I don't even care if you buy TeePublic. I'm sorry, not TeePublic, Brightside.
Right.
Any phone cases on TeePublic, these things, they protect your phone from a 7-foot drop onto concrete.
Wow.
So, yeah, I was like, oh, my God.
Very nice.
So, yeah. So that's all I got for today.
Cool.
What do you got? Anything? Is that it?
Nothing. That's it.
All righty. Hopefully you guys got out to get some books. Hopefully. And, hey, thanks again to Dr. Joe. Really appreciate that, helping out the comic book stores. And I mean, I've heard other stories like that. It's great to hear, but it's awesome to see when one of our listeners does it. It's awesome. Thank you very much.
Yes.
Let us know what's going on. What did you guys read this week? Let us know on Twitter at @brightside_chat, or you can email us at brightsidechat@gmail.com. Check out all the great podcasts at Nerdy Legion at nerdylegion.com. Like I mentioned earlier, Comic Talk Today. They're really good. They're a lot of good comic rumors, and then we talk about them.
There you go.
And please, iTunes, rate, review, and subscribe. Really appreciate that.
Yep.
And that'll do it. We are back on Monday. John and I are going to talk about The Matrix. And before John can say anything, I'd like to leave you with this. I cannot wait for Nudie to get at this movie, because this movie takes place in the Matrix. So when he starts breaking out his, that can't happen. Yes, it can.
But it's in the Matrix.
This is going to be fun. I can't wait.
Now you put me on the spot. Like, I'm going to have to come up with something.
Well, not if there isn't anything, but usually you're pretty good at it.
Yeah.
So have a great weekend, everybody. We'll be back on Monday. See you
then. Take care, everyone. Yep.
Hey, Fred.
Thanks for listening to the Brightside Chat. We have a few sponsors that we'd like to mention. Arkham Comics and Games of Pearland, Texas. You can find them at arkhamcomicsandgames.com, one word. A. Pennyworth's Comics and Collectibles in Matthews, North Carolina. You can find them at apennyworthscomics.com. Apothesis Comics and Lounge in St. Louis, Missouri. You can find them at apothesiscomicsstl.com. Friendly Neighborhood Comics of Bellingham, Mass. You can find them at friendlycomics.com. Legends Comics and Games of Littleton, Mass. You can find them at legendscomics.com, comics with an X. And also Rubber Chicken Comics of Bellingham, Mass. And you can find them at rubberchickencomics.com. So what's cool is all of our sponsors have agreed to give our listeners a 10% discount on any comics we talk about in our podcast. So if you hear it in our podcast, just go into any of the stores that we've mentioned and tell them you listen to the Bright Side Chat and you heard about this comic there, and they will give you a 10% discount on any of those books. Hopefully you guys can take advantage of that, and thank you to all of our sponsors. This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.